Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time to turn off the lights and turn on the dark.
Chilling tales for dark nights.
Good evening, listeners, and welcome back to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights. I'm your host, Nicholas Goroff, and tonight we venture into a story that cuts deeper than bone and wanders the shadowed corners of a mind pushed far past its breaking point. Some stories warn us about the monsters outside. This one warns us about the monster we become when ambition turns inward and perfection whispers terrible things in the quiet hours. Before we descend into tonight's tales, a harrowing exploration of obsession, creation, and the price of going too far, let's take a moment for a few announcements you won't want to miss. The Evil Idol 2025 voice acting competition is in full swing, and this year's field of talent is one of the strongest we've ever showcased. New performances are premiering regularly on our YouTube channel, and the competition is only intensifying as we head toward the new year. Keep your calendars marked, because 25 of the top contestants will compete in round 2 across November and December, bringing their absolute best to earn your votes and a shot at becoming this year's next champion of terror. Make sure you've subscribed to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights on YouTube and ring that notification bell so you never miss a performance. Your comments, your support, and your votes help decide who advances. If you're joining us from Spotify or Apple Podcasts, be sure to follow the show there too and leave us a 5-star rating and a quick review. It helps new listeners find us and helps us keep bringing you new nightmares every week. For even more horrific delights, consider joining our patrons area at chillingtalesfordarknights.com. As a member, you'll enjoy ad-free episodes, early releases, and exclusive bonus stories you won't find anywhere else, all for just $7.99 per month or less when you subscribe annually. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, and TikTok for behind-the-scenes content, updates, contests, and more. Now, brace yourself, because tonight's story asks a simple question. How many pieces of yourself would you give up just to finish the work? Our featured tale this evening comes from acclaimed author W.B. Stickle, whose dark fiction often explores the delicate balance between brilliance and madness, and what happens when that balance shatters. Tonight's performance is brought to life by Jeff Sturdivant, whose voice lends a slow unease to every unraveling moment. With sound design and production by Drew Blood, whose craftsmanship sharpens every edge of this descent into obsession. So settle in, dim the lights, and listen carefully, because the human mind has a way of convincing itself of anything, if it wants it badly enough. From author W.B. Stickle, we present to you Tearing Down.
The older model iPhone buzzed twice, informing Riley that he had an incoming call. "Fuck off, whoever you are," Riley told the device, which sat on the coffee table directly in front of him. "I'm a little busy here." The iPhone responded with another double buzz. Regretting his decision to keep it nearby, Riley saved the file he'd been working on. A new short story about a boy who stumbles across a strange old lunchbox while exploring the woods, and set his laptop aside. "Fine then," he said, transferring his gaze to the phone. "Buzz again, and I'll answer." 15 seconds ticked by, and no buzzing came. 30 seconds, 45, 50, and still nothing. At the 1 minute mark, Riley untethered his gaze from the phone and allowed his eyes to wander about his spacious apartment. Like the pot that never boils. It seems a watched phone never. The iPhone buzzed again then, this time accompanied by a distinctive wind chime sound, which meant the caller had just left a voicemail. Riley frowned at this, uncertain which of his acquaintances would opt to leave a voicemail when a simple text would do. Not his girlfriend, Kayla, nor the trio of guy friends he still engaged with on occasion. Certainly not his parents, as they were both dead. The only ones he could think of were telemarketers aiming to get his business, the Red Cross, who were always after his O negative blood, and Hazel, he said, and snatched the phone off the coffee table. Its display lit up, revealing a single notification. One new voicemail from Agent Hazel Browning. Grumbling to himself, he quickly unlocked his phone and navigated his way to the device's voicemail screen. He found Hazel's message at the top of the list, followed by 6 messages from the Red Cross. "Vampires," he muttered, before hitting the play icon next to Hazel's message.
"Howdy there, Riles,"
the woman's gravelly voice said.
"It's your favorite agent, Hazel. I really hope you're not ducking my calls. Though why would you be? I'm a goddamn fucking delight to talk to."
She paused there to issue a string of ugly, hacking coughs, born no doubt from her lifelong addiction to cigarettes.
"Anyway," she resumed, "I've got an update about the Basile strain. So, at your earliest convenience, turn off the porn, quit pulling your pud, and call me back. Ciao."
As soon as the message ended, Riley hit 7 to delete it. "Fucking Hazel," he said, shaking his head at the woman's inappropriateness. A facet of her personality he'd originally found endearing, but rapidly grew to dislike. Particularly as it became clear that the publishers weren't the biggest fans of her silver tongue either. Hence the sparse number of houses interested in his novel. A fantastic work of fiction that should have garnered 12 more lucrative offers, in his humble opinion. Running a hand down his face, Riley glanced at his laptop and contemplated waiting an hour before calling the woman back. That way he could spend a little more time working on his new short story. God knew when it came to his writing, it was always smart to strike when the creative neurons were hot. Trouble was, Hazel never called simply to shoot the shit. If she dialed his number, it was because she had something important to share. "Fine," Riley said, and reluctantly dialed her number. Hazel answered on the first ring.
"Riley,"
she exclaimed.
"Took you long enough, don't you think? You pop a Viagra or something?"
Riley frowned. "What?"
"The jerking off,"
Hazel fired back, as if it was the most obvious thing in the world.
"Never mind. Listen, I need to talk to you about something important."
"I figured," Riley said. "I'm listening."
"Hmm,"
Hazel said, as if rethinking something.
"Know what? Maybe you should come down to the office so we could speak in person."
Butterfly wings fluttered in Riley's stomach at that. He glanced at his watch. "It's 4:16 now, Hazel. Doesn't your office close at 4:30? I'd never make it in time. Besides, I..."
"No, no, you're right,"
the agent interrupted.
"I'm being a silly cunt. I think maybe the oxys I took are starting to kick in. No, I'll just come out and say it. You ready?"
"Just spit it out, Hazel."
Okay, here it is. I'm afraid we've been thrown a curveball.
The fluttering in Riley's belly intensified. Curveball? I don't understand. The last time we spoke, you said everything was great.
It was great,
Hazel replied.
At the time. But, you know, things change.
Riley drew in a measured breath and let it out slowly. Go on.
Well, pal, I'm sorry to say that both Harper's Collins and Tea Tree have elected to pass on the Basile strain.
Riley's eyebrows became twin arcs of alarm. Wait, what? Both of them dropped out?
Afraid so.
What the fucking fuck?
I know, honey, I know. But relax. There is some good news. Grey Moon really seems to want your novel.
Teeming with anxious energy, Riley stood up and began pacing about his living room. Jesus, he said. Jesus Christ. I wasn't expecting that.
Me neither, Hazel said. It's a lot to take in.
It's a real kick in the nuts is what it is, Hazel, Riley said.
Yeah, I imagine so.
Wanting to punch something, Riley strode into the kitchen and took a few beats to corral his spiraling thoughts. All right, Hazel, he said. My amazing agent, Hazel. Talk me off the ledge here. Tell me how this isn't the end of the world.
This isn't the end of the world,
Hazel replied.
As I said, Grey Moon is still very interested.
Riley raked his finger through his mop of thick black hair and sat down on the kitchen's white tile floor. That's something, I suppose.
It is indeed. Though...
The what, Hazel? Riley growled.
Well, it appears there's a teensy-weensy little catch with them, too.
Of course there is. Do I even want to know?
Probably not,
Hazel said.
But we must face the hurdles life throws our way. In our case here, somehow or another, Grey Moon got wind that the others passed on the Basile strain, and they've accordingly decided to take advantage. And by that, I mean they've opted to revise their length requirement.
Riley's head swooned at this, and he very nearly passed out. After everything he'd already endured with the book, a sickening roller coaster ride of conflicting demands, word reductions, and false promises, the sons of bitches wanted more cuts. No fucking way.
Way?
Damn it, Hazel, Riley said. How much?
It's gonna hurt.
Just fucking say it, Hazel.
They're saying a max of 150 now.
150? Riley echoed weakly. That's 40,000 words.
I know, honey, I know.
No, you don't. It was a motherfucking nightmare for me to get it down to 190. How in the hell am I supposed to trim another 40K? Hazel let 10 full seconds pass before answering.
Look, kid, I hate to say it this way, but that's just how it goes sometimes. They're the publisher, and you're the unproven rookie. They hold all the cards, and you are at their mercy. It's a cold, heartless business.
A surge of anger rose up inside Riley, and he shot back to his feet, intending to punch the wall. What stopped him was the realization that, one, doing so would probably hurt like a son of a bitch. And two, like it or not, Hazel was right. He was the nobody writer with less than a dozen story credits to his name, and they were the well-established publishing house. The sole publishing house willing to publish his book, as it turned out, which meant they wielded all the power. If they wanted something changed, then he could either do it or try his luck elsewhere. Except with Harper's and Tea Tree dropping out, there was nowhere left for him to try. Aside from self-publishing, which Hazel assured him was a one-way ticket to Nowheresville. All of this in mind, Riley dropped his fist and returned to the living room. "Crap," he said, plopping down on the sofa.
"Crap indeed,"
Hazel concurred.
"My advice? Take a little time, clear your head, then get back to it. You'll figure it out. You always do."
"I don't know," Riley said. "I guess I'll see what I can do."
"That's the spirit, sweetie. Don't you worry. We'll get this sucker published yet. Just gotta keep whacking away at it."
Hazel thought about what she just said and laughed.
"Literally."
At that very moment, Riley was glad they weren't in the same room together. Because if they were, he would have punched her in her dumb, wrinkly face. She started to say something else, but Riley terminated the call. "Go fuck yourself," he said, and headed for the liquor cabinet.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
2 days later, Riley found himself back on his leather sofa, silently staring at his laptop. Despite repeated efforts, he had made exactly zero cuts. Try as he might, he couldn't figure out where to start. After all the previous revisions he'd made, the manuscript was in pristine shape. Any trimming he did now would fuck with its soul. "I don't know what to tell you," he said to the laptop screen. "You're perfect just the way you are." "Amen to that," he imagined the device replying. "He got me nice and lean, toned and pretty. Take anything else away and I'll start to look like something the Allies rescued from Auschwitz." "Exactly," Riley said with an empty laugh. "It's bad enough I don't know where to start. But here I am talking to an inanimate object." "Oh, it's not really me you're talking to," the computer countered. "But you know that." "Of course I know that," Riley said. "Now can it before I set you on fire." When his lack of productivity extended to the following weekend, Riley fled his downstairs Albany apartment and began taking long, introspective walks around nearby Lincoln Park, hoping the activity would somehow stoke his creative fires. In a sense, the plan worked. As he ambled along the waterfront, several new story fragments, on top of the ones he'd recently been working on, popped into his head. Out of habit, he embraced the influx, mining the notions when he returned to his apartment. After a couple of days of this, however, his conscience stepped in, reminding him that subtraction, not addition, was the name of the current game. Grudgingly agreeing, Riley ceased his daily strolls and retreated to the apartment's spacious balcony, where he took up drinking LaRue and watching the boat people cruise up and down the Hudson. Kayla stopped by as much as her job at City Hall permitted and did her best to be supportive, bringing him dinner and stroking his head as he switched between skimming through the manuscript and sipping his LaRue. "What can I do to help, baby?" she asked one night after sex and takeout Ty. "Nothing," Riley told her flatly. "Nothing at all." "Oh, poppycock," she replied in a British accent, which made Riley smile. "Not fair," he said, using humor to poke through my melancholy. "Weird, right? It's like I know you or something." "Or something," he agreed. Kayla sucked her teeth at that and planted a kiss on his forehead, like he was a child. "Whatever," she said. "But seriously, how about you think of it as a puzzle? You're good at those, aren't you?" "Totally," Riley said. But what if it's a puzzle I've already solved 10 times over? Now I'm supposed to solve it again. Then you solve it an 11th time. When Riley didn't reply, Kayla gently inquired if he'd been good about taking his meds. Riley nearly clapped back with a nasty response, but managed to rein in his indignation before a single word slipped out. Given his lifelong struggle with bipolar disorder, it was completely in bounds for his partner to inquire about his lithium and duloxetine intake. "Yes, ma'am, I've been a good patient," he told her, though he wasn't sure that was true. Since his last call with Hazel, pill-taking had taken a back seat to more immediate concerns. "I just need some time." Kayla cocked her head and locked eyes with him. "Solitary time, you mean?" Riley nodded. "I'm sorry, but yes." Kayla left without saying anything else. After a couple of hours to properly digest the request, she called to let him know she understood and would limit her visits to 2x a week. The next time she came over, Riley was in a much clearer state of mind and hugged her tightly the moment she entered the apartment. "How do you ever put up with me?" he asked as they made their way to the bedroom. "Aside from the money, that is." By money, he meant the $500,000 in insurance payouts he'd received following his parents' untimely death 2 years prior. He said it as a joke. Kayla had been around long before the money arrived, and he knew she'd be around if it ever evaporated. And she took it as such. "Your sweet virgin ass, of course," she quipped, unzipping his fly. "That, or the fact that we're in a relationship, and that's how things work, you doof." Before he could respond, she switched topics. "So, any progress with the manuscript?" "Nada," Riley confessed. "My magic word eraser just won't come out to play." Kayla pushed him onto the bed. "Maybe putting you in a good mood will help." Riley shrugged and stripped off his pants. "Worth a shot, I suppose." Her ministrations put him in an excellent mood, but did nothing for his editing quandary. The following week, she flew out to California to hike Yosemite with her 2 sisters. In her absence, Riley opted to take a break from the manuscript and focus on completing the latest Call of Duty. Once he achieved that goal, he began tooling around on the internet, visiting his favorite zines and podcasts, and perusing his usual cache of porn sites. Inevitably, these two lost their sway, and his desire to tackle the manuscript gradually resurfaced. When it did, he decided to do something he rarely did when it came to his writing: seek the great god Google's help. "All right, Your Highness," he said, as he brought the powerful search engine up on his laptop. "Give me something useful." In the search field, he typed, struggling to reduce word count, and hit enter. The number of hits that came back pleasantly surprised Riley, the first of which contained links for services and software geared toward cleaning up academic papers. The second site provided links to articles discussing the best techniques to use for word count issues. The third site consisted of blogs and discussion boards devoted to the pitfalls of editing one's own work. Sticking with the third site, he spent the next few hours sifting through the plethora of content contained within its links. Amongst these, he discovered an interesting Reddit thread that offered remedies to what the moderators referred to as editor's block. Exactly what he was experiencing. The thread appeared to have a substantial number of commenters, each of whom detailed their own personal struggles, while providing tips and tricks they used to overcome their editing droughts. Of these wonderful gold mines, Riley was particularly enthralled by a thread titled Superfluous Elimination, which involved the reduction of one's material and social ties. Essentially, the author said, if something distracted you, be it an inanimate object or a living entity, you needed to excise it from your life. Otherwise, you could never hope to achieve the level of focus required to make the truly deep cuts. in his undermedicated state, the concept made complete sense to Riley. So much so that, 24 hours later, he hopped onto Facebook Marketplace and posted most of his furnishings, asking a mere pittance for each piece. By week's end, the entire lot was gone, leaving him with the barest of essentials: his mattress, his laptop, his computer desk, and a single dresser for his slimmed-down wardrobe. The move reaped instant dividends. With nothing in the apartment to look at, he managed to redline a graphic sex scene and axe a minor dream sequence. Cuts that totaled 2,000 words. Hoping to repeat the process, he sold his car, disconnected his apartment's landline, and quit his part-time customer service job at Verizon. For these, he was rewarded with another $5,000. Pleased, but knowing he had far to go, he buzzed off his hair, tossed out his cell phone, and dumped all his pills in the toilet. Another $4,000 gone there. Chop, chop, chop. "Fucking wild," he said after saving the latest draft. "Shit really works." "Seems like," the manuscript admitted. "But you're still miles from the finish line." "Yeah," Riley said, no longer thinking it odd to have a conversation with a piece of fiction. "Long way. Any suggestions?" "How about the apartment?" the manuscript said. "Do you really need all this space?" Riley looked around. The apartment was rather big for the few things he now possessed. "Good point," he said. By the following weekend, he was living in a dinky little shithole across the river in Rensselaer. The move was good for another $7,000. "Halfway home," Riley announced after making the last cut. "Pretty good," said the manuscript. "But what now?" Riley racked his brain but came up with nothing. "No idea." "What about Kayla?" the manuscript suggested. "Kayla?" Riley said, stunned. "No, no. She's my life." "No," the manuscript reminded him. "I'm your life. She's just an expendable plaything. You barely see her now anyway. So cut her loose, at least until I'm ready. She'll understand. If not, there's a pretty big ocean out there with plenty of fish." Following a lengthy and painful internal debate, Riley walked to the fast track down the street, which still had a payphone, and called Kayla. She most definitely did not understand. She loved him and could help him get through it, she said, crying. He apologized profusely, said he loved her too, then hung up. The sacrifice gained him another 1,000 words. Riley tried to feel happy about this, but the only thing he felt was a stark emptiness roiling in the pit of his soul. To make matters worse, he found that there was little else to excise from his life. His dresser, desk, and air mattress were obvious candidates, so he jettisoned them too, but only to the tune of 500 words. After saving the last edits, Riley began pacing about his new apartment, frantically trying to figure out what to do next. Coming up with nothing, he asked the manuscript for more of its advice, but it wasn't talking anymore. Confused and growing fuzzier by the minute, he once more sought Google's wise counsel. The first few hours of link hopping were highly frustrating, turning up little of real value. Albeit, around the fourth hour, as his vision started to blur, he struck what amounted to digital pay dirt, an arcane but fascinating study involving the human brain's usage of blood. According to the webpage's author, the 5-year study unearthed an odd correlation between limb loss and enhanced creativity. In specific, it stated that those who had suffered amputations without extensive blood loss were 63 times more likely to experience some manner of cognitive expansion. The prime example cited was the number of war veterans who'd returned home less than whole and wound up developing a penchant for the arts. The exact reason for the phenomenon was unknown, but the author suggested it had to do with a process called hemoredirection, the body's natural rerouting of its blood supply in the event of trauma. In its simplest form, the idea purported that the body did not immediately adjust its blood production following limb loss. It kept producing red cells as usual, and the extra hemoglobin resulted in elevated mental acuity. Captivated by this, Riley took his time absorbing the theory and eventually branched out into other medical areas of the web, aiming to boost his knowledge on human physiology. His searches were an education unto themselves and carried him well into the night as he ingested article after article, dealing with everything from immunohematology to the autoclaving of surgical instruments. The mind blinks, as he came to think of them, started early the next morning as dawn approached. He was partway through an article about hemostasis when his brain abruptly paused and went blank. A few seconds later, it kicked back on, and he found himself reading about limb occlusion pressure. He experienced similar episodes throughout the morning until, at last, sleep overwhelmed him. In the afternoon, he woke refreshed and brimming with ideas on how to best move forward with his cuts. The mind blink started the instant he opened his eyes, but after a quick web search, he realized they were symptoms caused by the abrupt discontinuation of his meds. Per pharmacyquestions.com, the uncomfortable gaps were nothing to worry about. In time, his body would adjust, and he would no longer feel them. Relieved, Riley dressed in the few bland clothes he still owned and caught a cab over to the Walmart on Troy Road. He took his time going through aisles, gathering up all the necessary supplies. Fortunately, the store had everything in stock. The cashier checking him out gave him the old fisheye as she scanned his items. Riley just shrugged, paid as fast as he could, and used a payphone to arrange a cab ride home.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Emergency, the glowing red and white sign read. Riley peered at it from his hidden perch across the street from the hospital, thinking it odd that emergency rooms often used red in their signs. He got that the color was eye-catching, but it was also the color of blood. Welcome, it seemed to say. We're all bleeding in here. Not that he had any room to judge, given what he was about to do. Putting this out of his mind, Riley pulled out the cheap track phone he'd bought specifically for tonight and placed the 911 call. Afterwards, he switched on the small portable generator he'd bought to provide power to the miter saw. When the LED indicated 120 volts present, he sat on the ground, removed his pants, applied two tourniquets to his left leg, 2 inches above the knee. He had considered just taking the foot, but he wanted to be sure he got enough to cover the remaining cuts. Tourniquet in place, he got into position and did a couple of unpowered test runs to ensure the blade was lined up correctly. Then he sat back and waited. Curiously, the ambulance that showed up did not originate from the hospital itself. It approached from the north, racing down New Scotland Avenue with its siren blaring. As it pulled up to the curb before him, the driver, seeing what Riley was about to do, shouted for him to stop, that he didn't need to do it. Riley ignored the man's pleas. He did need to do it. And that was that. As the EMTs threw open their doors, Riley engaged the saw's trigger. And as they scurried towards him, he brought the screaming blade down onto his bare leg. I really wish you hadn't gotten rid of your phone, Riley, Hazel Browning said as she reviewed the new manuscript. I thought maybe you'd move to Canada or something. Anyway, I'm glad you're okay. Riley sat across the desk from her in his wheelchair and rubbed his aching stump. 6 months had passed since the incident, and the thing still hurt like a motherfucker. The doctor said it could take up to a year for the pain to subside. They also told him he was likely to experience phantom limb syndrome at some point and should seek specialized counseling for it. From the online articles Riley had previously read about the condition, he suspected he was in for some freaky shit. But that was a bridge he would cross when he came to it. For now, he was just glad that Hazel knew very little about what had transpired the night of the saw. Her general cluelessness saved him from having to ply her with too much bullshit, other than the lie about the tumor in his calf, which she seemed to buy readily enough. The state officials assigned to his case, however, had been far less gullible. Deeming him a danger to himself and others, they had awarded him 6 months of psychiatric evaluation. Having anticipated this, Riley played the role of good patient and repeatedly blamed his actions on his lack of medication. A few of the doctors had seemed skeptical at first, but Riley ultimately won them over with charm and consistency. When the allotted 6 months were up, they signed his release papers and sent him back into the wild. While it wasn't the easiest half year of his life, it was worth it in the end, because the amputation had worked. With the leg gone, Riley was able to pare the word count down to what Grey Moon required. Even better, with some creative resecting and reshaping, he managed to preserve the novel's overall integrity. I'm good now, Riley told the agent. Ready to rock and roll. So, have you heard back from them? When they had last spoken, a few weeks earlier, Hazel had just sent the manuscript off to Grey Moon for final approval. Hazel sat up in her chair. Her eyes glittered. Straight to it then, huh? Okay. Well, the answer is yes, and they said they love the streamlined version. Ready for this? They want to move ahead with the contract. 3 books, like we talked about. Riley closed his eyes and grinned. At last. At long fucking last. His dreams were coming true. Wow, he said. Thank God. I know, right? Hazel said. Come on, tell me. Who's the man? Riley opened his eyes. You are, Hazel. You're the man. That's right, sweetie. I am. Riley cleared his throat. So, okay. What's the next step for us? The agent put her hands on top of his printed manuscript. Paperwork, mostly. A meeting in New York next week. We'll negotiate in advance, and they'll hook you up with an editor of their choosing. All right, Riley said giddily. Sounds good. The agent's purple fingernails tapped out an abrupt cadence on her desk's laminate surface. There is one thing, sweetie. One minor request from Grey Moon as we head into this. Oh? Seems they've decided to allocate some space in the back of your book for promoting other novels they have lined up. And they're gonna need one final pre-contract trim to be sure everything will fit. Riley went completely still. Something dark and empty roiled in his guts. Pre-contract trim? He said, rubbing his aching half leg. How much? 1,000 should do it, they said. Riley's right eye twitched. Then his mind blinked. He'd been off his meds and faking it for several weeks now. Next he knew, he was staring down at his right foot, a familiar sense of resignation settling over him. He was closer than ever now. Too close to turn back just because of another unfair hurdle. He had to see it through to the end, no matter what the cost. How much of the foot, he mused, would it take to shave off another 1,000 words? A toe? Several toes? The whole thing? It was probably better to be safe than sorry. Wondering if there was an Ace Hardware on the way home, he snatched the manuscript off the agent's desk and, without another word, wheeled himself into the hallway.
That was Paring Down by W.B. Stickle, performed by Jeff Sturdivant and produced by Drew Blood. A chilling reminder that sometimes the darkest places we can wander aren't abandoned hospitals, graveyards, or lonely roads, but the quiet room where we sit alone with our thoughts. If tonight's tale struck a nerve or left you glancing at your laptop with suspicion, be sure to visit our sister website, creepypastastories.com, for more stories from incredible authors like W.B. Stickle, and to support the performers and producers who bring their nightmares to life each week. If you've enjoyed tonight's episode, take a moment to leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Your feedback helps more listeners discover the show and keeps the horrors coming week after week. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Chilling Tales for Dark Nights, where the Evil Idol 2025 voice acting competition continues, with new performances dropping regularly. The contest carries on into the new year, and 25 standout performers are gearing up for round two throughout November and December. Don't miss your chance to support your favorites as they compete for the crown. For those who want to take their support even further, consider joining our patrons area at chillingtalesfordarknights.com. Members enjoy ad-free listening, early access to new episodes, and exclusive content you won't find anywhere else. All for just $7.99 a month, with discounted annual options available. And stay connected with us on Facebook, X, Instagram, and TikTok for daily horror content, writing challenges, announcements, and more. Until next time, turn off the lights and turn on the dark. Sweet dreams, listener. Sweet dreams.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.